This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, the South African economy added another 12,000 jobs in the fourth quarter of 2024, and experts question the constitutionality of a VAT increase. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the inflation rate, the interest rate and exchange rate. In international business news, the Chinese electric vehicle giant BYD has overtaken Tesla in annual revenue for 2024. In investment news, Remgro shares rose yesterday, and we'll also chat with an advisor of Premier Alan Wendy, Alvi Lester, about the Western Cape government's energy resilience program.
A look now at local business news.
The South African economy added another 12,000 jobs in the fourth quarter of 2024, recording only a 0.1% increase in total employment. This is according to the latest quarterly employment survey statistics South Africa released yesterday. The slight increase in jobs was due to industries in trade, business services, transport and electricity. However, the increases were negated by job losses in community services, manufacturing, construction and mining sectors. The central banks of both the USA and South Africa opted to hold on interest rates steady at their last meetings. We asked Chris Hutting for the Center for Risk Analysis why and what it means.
Both the US Federal Reserve and the South African Reserve Bank decided to keep interest rates at the same level to what they've been over the last month or two. Both of the banks indicated sensitivity to heightened global risks, mostly pushed by the administration in the US, so the possibility of new tariffs being implemented by the US on the 2nd of April. All of that makes business activity and investment more uncertain and possibly heightens the cost of various goods. In that vein, it might also then keep inflation higher for longer or push inflation higher, in which case reserve banks wouldn't then want to again increase interest rates. So they're going to keep their interest rates at the same level for now and see how exactly the tariff threats and the moves around tariffs, how all of that plays out.
And during a public hearing in Parliament yesterday, several experts raised serious concerns about the budget process. They also questioned whether a VAT increase would be constitutional. However, independent economist Dr. Sean Miller, a former member of the Parliamentary Budget Office, pointed out that the VAT Act of 1991 predates the Constitution. This act grants the Minister of Finance the authority to raise VAT. Miller argued that it is inconsistent for Parliament to have oversight of the budget and be required to approve it, while the Minister of Finance can increase VAT without prior parliamentary approval. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, why did the Reserve Bank decide to keep the interest rate unchanged despite inflation not changing and a stronger rand?
The inflation rate remained unchanged at 3.2% in February. Month on month, it increased by 0.9%. Core inflation now stands at 3.4%. Goods inflation edged up slightly from 2.4 to 2.5, while services inflation decreased slightly from 4 to 3.8%. The Monetary Policy Committee agrees that inflation is contained, yet they voted 4 to 2 in favor of keeping the repo unchanged. The reason is simple: international uncertainty over how President Trump's policies, particularly tariffs, will unfold. Additionally, the Federal Reserve has left its policy rate unchanged. They predict slightly lower economic growth and slightly higher inflation in the US. An inflation rate of 2.5 or 2.7% is above their 2% target, which means that their interest rates will remain high for longer. Another interesting question is why the rand is trading relatively strong against the dollar. The Bureau explains that part of this is due to a relatively weaker dollar. Another factor is a slightly improved current account balance in the fourth quarter and the high gold price, which benefits our gold exports. Our relatively high interest rates make the bond market, and thus the rand, attractive.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The Chinese electric vehicle giant BYD has overtaken Tesla in annual revenue for 2024, reporting a 29% increase to $107 billion. BYD and Tesla sold nearly the same number of electric vehicles, 1.76 million and 1.79 million respectively. However, BYD's total sales, including hybrids, reached 4.3 million. The company has also launched a low-cost rival to Tesla's Model 3 and unveiled fast-charging battery technology. Meanwhile, Tesla faces global backlash over CEO Elon Musk's political ties. BYD's shares have also surged over 50% this year, despite Western tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Shares of the investment holding firm Remgro lifted yesterday when the company reported an almost 40% rise in earnings as well as a 20% rise in its dividend. Remgro's headline earnings jumped 38.7% in the 6 months to end December. The company says it's due to stronger contributions from major investees such as Mediclinic and Rainbow Chicken. Mediclinic reported a growth in patient numbers and there was a turnabout for the bird flu-battered Rainbow Chicken. Remgro upped its interim dividend by 20% to 96 cents per share. Its shares climbed to R1.58 yesterday morning. Before we say goodbye, we chat with an advisor of Premier Alan Windey, Alvy Lester, about the Western Cape Government's Energy Resilience Programme. What is the Western Cape Government's strategy around energy resilience and what is the purpose of this programme?
So we really have two objectives that we'd like to achieve over a 5 to 10 year window. The first is to mitigate and manage energy-related disasters in the Western Cape. And typically we talk about load shedding as a disaster, but it could be any network outage that has a long-term and medium-term impact on the citizens of the province. The second objective is to facilitate improved energy resilience in the Western Cape. And this is really talking to a secure, decarbonized, affordable and financially sustainable source of energy for the Western Cape.
What goals did you set yourselves to achieve with this program?
We have set ourselves some targets in the province. Lower carbon energy generated somewhere between 500 and 750 megawatts by 2025, and we're well on our way to achieving that. In the medium term, by 2027, we'd like to see that number grow to about 1,800 megawatts. And in the long term, we'd like to see about 5,700 megawatts of this energy in the Western Cape.
What can these sectors do to build resilience?
So I think what we found is that the SMME sector is by far the most impacted sector, in firstly in terms of the economy, but also in terms of job losses. And whether this is load shedding or whether this is an unplanned outage, the impact is really felt by the sector, this industry. We find that the more medium and larger commercial sectors have built some resilience in their systems. So some of them have got alternatives in place. But it really is the lower end where people really can't afford to put in systems that are affected. Then, of course, the residential sector is also quite affected by this.
How has the WCG supported businesses, municipalities and industries, and where are the opportunities?
So from a municipal point of view, what we really try to drive is that we have private sector energy development in municipalities, in municipal networks as opposed to Eskom networks. And to assist them, we've created what we call a project preparation facility, which really does give them skills and capacity that they can access to prepare the municipality to go to the market for independent energy. The industries, we focus predominantly on the SMMEs, and it's quite difficult because of the volumes and where their location is. So our approach was really to see how do we assist industrial hubs in municipal areas. And we've managed to identify 12 hubs, 7 of which we've actually now fitted with an alternative energy source. And this is really solar PV with a battery installation, which really means that whatever the reason for not having energy, that those industrial hubs can in fact continue to operate despite whatever challenge they face.
And that was an advisor of Premier Alan Windey, Alvy Lester. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.